Get ready for Sharon Hughes.
It's unfortunate and tragic that I have to teach this committee the basic principles of Americanism.
That's the question.
Saying it like it is.
What I like about it most is its honest and poignant commentary from a Judeo-Christian perspective. And in the world of punditry, there aren't many women out there giving that type of commentary. And I've got to tell you, that's one of the reasons why I love the show.
Bringing you familiar guests on important issues such as immigration, education, the Middle East, culture, religion, and the changing worldviews of Americans and the world.
We're at war with the most dangerous enemy that has ever faced mankind. And it's been said if we lose that war, and in so doing lose this way of freedom of ours, history will record with the greatest astonishment that those who had the most to lose did the least to prevent its happening.
Now here's Sharon with today's show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Changing Worldviews. And today,
do you want the court, including the justices that you will name, to overturn Roe v. Wade, which includes, in fact, states a woman's right to abortion?
Well, if that would happen, because I am pro-life and I will be appointing pro-life judges, I would think that that will go back to the individual states.
I've been fighting my entire adult life for this day. It is one important victory. It's not the end, but we are dancing on the grave of Roe versus Wade. It's like taking Normandy Beach.
Today, the Supreme Court has rightfully overturned that decision, sending the power to regulate abortion back to the elected officials at the state level. I have longed and prayed for this day.
Okay, so I'm sure our listeners watched the debates when Donald Trump was running for president in 2016 against Hillary Clinton. Here's Chris Wallace asking Trump about his position and then also Hillary's response. And may I just say the obvious, had Donald Trump not won, we would not have seen Roe v. Wade overturned. You heard Hillary Clinton in her own words that there's no way she would have anything to do with it, basically. Here's the clip.
Mr. Trump, you're pro-life, but I want to ask you specifically, do you want the court, including the justices that you will name, to overturn Roe v. Wade, which includes, in fact, states a woman's right to abortion?
Well, if that would happen, because I am pro-life and I will be appointing pro-life judges, I would think that that will go back to the individual states.
But I'm asking you specifically, would you
if
like
to... If they overturned it, it'll go back to the states.
But what I'm asking you, sir, is... do you want to see the court overturn? You've just said you want to see the court protect the Second Amendment. Do you want to see the court overturn Roe v.
Well, if we put another two or perhaps three justices on, that's really what's going to be, will happen. And that'll happen automatically, in my opinion, because I am putting pro-life justices on the court. I will say this, it will go back to the states, and the states will then make a determination.
Secretary Clinton.
Well, I strongly support Roe v. Wade, which guarantees a constitutional right to a woman to make the most intimate, most difficult in many cases, decisions about her health care that one can imagine. And in this case, it's not only about Roe v. Wade. It is about what's happening right now in America. So many states are putting very stringent regulations on women that block them from exercising that choice to the extent that they are defunding Planned Parenthood, which Donald has said he's in favor of defunding Planned Parenthood. He even supported shutting the government down to defund Planned Parenthood. I will defend Planned Parenthood. I will defend Roe v. Wade, and I will defend women's rights to make their own health care decisions.
Secretary,
and we have come too far to have that turn back now.
So, whether you like Donald Trump or not, the truth is, had he not been president, we would not have the justices that we have on the Supreme Court who voted to overturn Roe v. Wade after 50 years. And might I just throw something in here? I was thinking about the fact that, you know, the highest court in the land basically repented of our nation's sin of allowing the murder of the unborn. Now it's going to go to the states. And we'll see what states will do likewise or not. And I'm sure you've already thought about this. It's not going to go down easily, as Biden has said, as Nancy Pelosi has said. They're hoping to get, you know, use this to be able to win elections in November and to keep the House and the Senate and so forth and be able to, well, what they want to do is make laws, federal laws, not from the courts, but from the Congress, to put Roe back in place. Well, for the record, here are just a few clips of some of those that are on the left and what they were saying should Roe v. Wade be overturned, for the record.
I've never seen you so angry. You seem to be...
This is what the Republicans have been working toward this day for decades. They have been out there plotting, carefully cultivating these Supreme Court justices so they could have a majority on the bench who would accomplish something that the majority of Americans do not want. Old people and young people want Roe versus Wade to maintain as the law of the land. We need to do that. And we have a right. Extremists, we've heard enough from the extremists.
Yesterday, so just about moving forward, these activists posted a map with the home addresses of the Supreme Court justices. Is that the kind of thing this president wants to help your side make their point?
Look, I think the president's view is that there's a lot of passion, a lot of fear, a lot of sadness from many, many people across this country about what they saw in that leaked document. We obviously want people's privacy to be respected. We want people to protest peacefully if they want to protest. That is certainly what the president's view would be.
So he doesn't care if they're protesting outside the Supreme Court or outside someone's private residence.
I don't have an official U.S. government position on where people protest. We want it, of course, to be peaceful. And certainly the president would want people's privacy to be respected. But I think we shouldn't lose the point here. The reason people are protesting is because women across the country are worried about their fundamental rights that have been law for 50 years.
What do you want them to do with their kids when they have to go to work?
When does life begin, in your opinion?
Senator, I don't know.
Ma'am?
I don't know.
Do you have a belief?
I have personal, religious, and otherwise beliefs that have nothing to do with the law in terms of when life begins.
Do you have a personal belief, though, about when life begins?
I have a religious view.
Religious belief?
That I set aside when I am ruling on cases.
Okay. When does equal protection of the laws attach to a human being?
Well, Senator, I believe that the Supreme Court... I actually don't know the answer to that question. I'm sorry. I don't.
Okay. For the record, that is the Supreme Court justice that Biden nominated that's going to take the place of Breyer, Kajani Brown. She also didn't know the definition of a woman, in case you missed that.
Can you provide a definition for the word woman?
Can I provide a definition?
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah.
I can't.
You can't?
Not in this context.
So
I'm not a biologist.
The meaning of the word woman is so unclear and controversial that you can't give me a definition?
Senator, in my work as a judge, what I do is I address disputes. If there's a dispute about a definition, people make arguments, and I look at the law and I decide.
Well,
so I'm not...
The fact that you can't give me a straight answer about something as fundamental as what a woman is underscores the dangers of the kind of progressive education that we are hearing about.
Okay, and when we get back from this break, my interview with Dr. Alveda King when she was in the San Francisco Bay Area a few years back during a pro-life march that happens every January across the nation. As we go into break, I want to play for you her statement at the overturning of Roe v. Wade by the Supreme Court. Stay with me.
For 49 years, we the people have had to endure a flawed and unconstitutional ruling from the Supreme Court that allowed unelected judges to create a national right to abortion that ultimately led to extreme actions like late-term abortions against the unborn. Today, the Supreme Court has rightfully overturned that decision, sending the power to regulate abortion back to the elected officials at the state level. I have longed and prayed for this day, and I will continue to fight for human dignity for everyone, from the womb to the tomb.
You're listening to Changing Worldviews with Sharon Hughes, getting to the heart of the issues and the worldviews behind them.
Hi, Jane. How's your first year of teaching going?
Well, I'm struggling with something. Financially supporting the teachers' union is required, but to support some of the things the National Education Association publicly advocates would violate my faith. I believe that abortion is wrong, and I can't let my union dues support an organization that promotes it, but those dues are mandatory. It's not about the money.
Jane, I'm glad you shared this with me. As a beginning teacher, I faced the same dilemma, so I called the National Right to Work Foundation. They told me that under federal law, NEA officials cannot force me to support them. I was able to keep my conscience clear and honor my faith by redirecting that money to a charity instead.
I'd really like to find out more about my rights.
The National Right to Work Foundation has provided free legal aid to hundreds of religious objectors. You can give them a call at 1-800-336-3600 or access their website at nrtw.org. Request a copy of their free brochure when you call.
This is Elias from San Antonio, Texas. Testimonial on the Nature's Miracle ointment. I've been using that on small burns and cuts, and within hours you can see the healing begin. And on my wife, she's bedridden. I've used it on rashes on her face and on her legs, and the same thing. I'll tell the nurses kind of as a joke. I'll say, this is going to start to heal within a few hours, and within 2 or 3 hours, they can already see the difference. So it's a great product. I recommend.
For Changing Worldviews listeners, you can get a 25% discount. Go to apexhealth.life/Sharon. You can order with the special price or call 833-334-5433. Again, 833-334-5433.
Every day, nearly 4,000 unborn children are denied life and love. National Right to Life is working to change that. For more than 30 years, National Right to Life has worked through education and legislation to make sure that every child is given the opportunity to share their love, their gifts, and their talents with the world. Our work now is more critical than ever. Respect for life is being attacked on all fronts and at all stages, from the tiniest unborn child to the medically dependent and disabled to our elderly citizens. It is the support of our members, pro-life men and women from across the country, that helps to advance our cause. Join with National Right to Life and countless other pro-life men and women and make a unified stand for life. This has been a perspective on life from National Right to Life. For more information, visit our website, www.nrlc.org. That's nrlc.org.
You're listening to Changing Worldviews with your host, Sharon Hughes.
Thank you for staying with me. Now, my interview with Dr. Alveda King, niece of Martin Luther King Jr., she who has fought for the civil rights of all, and particularly for the unborn. Here's what she had to say. Certainly appropriate for this historic time after 50 years of Roe v. Wade.
She also is the founder of King for America, which is to assist people in enriching their lives spiritually, personally, mentally, and economically. She's the daughter of the late slain civil rights activist, Reverend A.D. King. Alveda has continued her work as a civil rights activist, speaking out on issues that face society today.
Thank you so much for taking a few minutes to talk to us about what you're doing. You've given your life as a civil rights activist, as your uncle Martin Luther King did. What's the difference today from when he marched, would you say, in the civil rights arena?
The civil rights movement is always going to be on the side of those who are oppressed. During the time of Martin Luther King Jr. in the 50s and the 60s, we were dealing with skin color and the oppression that comes with that. But even as Dred Scott in the previous centuries was told that he was not a human being. He was not a person, and that he was three-fifths human. And so during the marches with Dr. King, we were segregated and experienced racism and oppression because of skin color and told that we were less than human and treated as less than human. Today, the little baby in the womb has been told, you're not a person, you're a blob of tissue, and if your mom wants to kill you or not have you, then that's going to be the case. Also, women are oppressed by abortion because a woman's right to know and be educated and informed about the terrible repercussions of abortion, because abortion really hurts women, and that information is being withheld from women. Today, the civil rights of the mothers, the broader family, and certainly the civil right to life of the little baby is what we're fighting for.
The good news is, as I understand, that the abortion rate has fallen, but for Black America, there's still a percentage. I guess Black American women make up about one-fourth of the population, but they get over a third of the abortions. Now, specifically in the Black community, this has got to be a concern.
Well, what is happening in the African American community, and I was with Father Frank Pavone of Priest for Life and Janet Morana, and we were in a meeting with some African-American leaders last night, pastors and leaders, and we go across the country meeting with African-American lay people, pastors, leaders, community people, and we're educating the community. There's a wonderful new information piece by a man named Will Ford from Will Ford EX Ministries, and it's giving all the statistics, all the information, and as African-Americans are informed and enlightened, they're coming online. I think it's wonderful that abortion is on the decline. We have to watch the chemical abortions, though, because the chemical abortions are still going to give you the same side effects. If you're a woman in your body, the risk of the cancers and the depressions and et cetera is still killing that baby. And so we really want abortion, whether it be chemical or surgical, to be unthinkable.
Would your uncle, Martin Luther King, march for life today?
Martin Luther King Jr. was a champion for nonviolence, a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ who said the Negro cannot win if he's willing to sacrifice the futures of his children for immediate personal comfort and safety. Now, Dr. King did receive a Margaret Sanger Planned Parenthood Award in 1966, but at that time, you had Black leaders saying that abortion was genocide. You had Planned Parenthood saying abortion was genocide, and Planned Parenthood was pretending to want to build strong African-American communities. Of course, we all know that that wasn't true, because they tricked me into getting an abortion and telling me it was a blob of tissue. And so Dr. King was a man of peace, love, a man of God, and in his own words, he spoke out against infanticide. He spoke on behalf of the unborn. And so we know that because he was nonviolent, he would be on the side of the babies.
Well, let me just ask you, do you think he would be trying to persuade the president to be for life?
I believe my uncle might be doing what I'm doing, because I have a dream. It's in my genes, in the tradition of our families. We would be praying for every president that they would come to repentance and the knowledge of Jesus Christ and for the lives of the babies, and that all the candidates would come to that awareness. So I'd like to believe that that's what my uncle would say and do as well.
Well, before you go, is there anything else that you would like to say to our audience?
I just want to mention my dad, Reverend A.D. King, brother of Martin Luther King Jr., both slain civil rights leaders. Their dad, Dr. Martin Luther King Sr., saved me from abortion because my parents had an unplanned pregnancy with me, and my granddaddy said, we don't kill babies, that's our promise and that's our seed, you can't abort that baby. And he saw me in a dream 3 years before I was born. And so we come from a pro-life family, and I kind of just want people to know that.
Awesome. Well, thank you for taking the time to be with us, and thank you for all that you're doing for the cause of life and continuing the legacy of your uncle.
Thank you, and God bless you.
I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. And when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
So let me ask us a question. Are the rights of the unborn child as important as the rights of Black Americans?
of all Americans? I mean, didn't we have the sin of elevating whites over blacks, even to the point of slavery, which, of course, Abraham Lincoln and the Emancipation Proclamation did away with? Of course, prejudice continued, and we had Martin Luther King and the Civil Rights Movement because whites were elevated over blacks. Well, in the abortion issue, aren't we elevating women over babies? Just because we call the unborn a piece of tissue doesn't mean it's so. And just because you got pregnant doesn't give you the right to do away with the life in the womb. That's my point of view, and I also believe that's the biblical view. So let's all watch and see what the states do. Let's watch and pray that the states, one by one, repent as the highest court in our land did in overturning Roe v. Wade. Well, I always like to close out with a song, and, you know, if I had a voice like Amy Grant, this would be one of my favorite songs to sing.
Every life, every beating heart has a searching soul inside. Ever needing, ever seeking out the meaning to life. I refuse to believe that we're only here to live and die.
Must have faith.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Hopefully you're helping us by passing the word around about our show for the purpose of being able to reach more with the truth. I encourage you to go to our website, changingworldviews.com, and sign up for our newsletter and check out what's going on there. Listen to other shows in our archives and also share on your social media about the show. If you like what we're saying here, I would appreciate you helping spread the word. The mainstream media is so huge in their impact. We need all voices that are telling the truth to get louder. And that includes you. That includes your voice. So until I see you next time, this is Sharon Hughes saying it like it is.
You've been listening to Changing World Views with Sharon Hughes. You can follow Sharon at facebook.com/Sharon and twitter.com/Sharon. Please take advantage of our online shows covering topics and guests we can't possibly cover on our weekly show. That's why we offer more at our website, changingworldviews.com. Join Sharon next time, and until then, stay alert, stay informed, because we live in a changing world.